Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the In the Truck podcast. I'm your host, as always, Dennis Brown. So, the high holy month of Ramadan has begun. Now, I know you're thinking it's called Ramadan, but it's not. It's not called Ramadan. It's called Ramadan. It's a common mistranslation. So if you're not familiar with your Islamic high holy days, the month of Ramadan is either one of two things. So either it's a month where every day while the sun is up, you do not attend to your own worldly desires. So you don't eat, don't drink, don't smoke. And then when the sun goes down, you eat and drink. And you spend this time fasting and contemplating your existence and spirituality and God and all these things. Seems pretty positive, but peaceful and positive. But somehow there's a second and separate interpretation by the jihadist faction of Islam. It says that during the month of Ramadan, you get extra jihad points. So jihad essentially works on a points system. The type of paradise you get is dependent upon how many things that are awful that you do to other people in the name of Allah. And if you do horrible things to other human beings during the month of Ramadan, you get extra points. So it's a very popular time to go around and shoot your neighbors and blow up other Muslims and launch attacks in Europe and North America. That's a big time for that. So, last year was the bloodiest Ramadan in history. This year, I think they're going to outpace themselves. I think we're in for another record month. So the first 4 days, there's somewhere over 100 dead and countless injured. So if they keep this pace going, I think they'll eclipse themselves and defeat their own record. Not to mention that, you know, we haven't yet had a really big one. And they usually plan at least one really big, you know, nice big attack. You know, last year it was, forget where it was a bomb that killed 90 people. So they get something like that going. Whew, that's a lot of points. So that's that. So there's this sort of idea that seems to have permutated itself. Oh my goodness, did I just use the complete wrong word? There's this idea that has crept into certainly the media, but I think also just into the general consciousness of our society, that Islam's problem is that it's a primitive religion, much like other religions were at one time. And that if left to its own devices, Islam will progress just like Christianity, in that it will reach some sort of a pinnacle where it traverses the world doing altruistic good and really sort of living out its true values. And then, just like Western Christianity, will fade into apathy and abject hypocrisy. But that's not really an accurate understanding of Islam. First of all, Christianity didn't really have a violent, aggressive past. And now, people will disagree with that, but the things that are normally cited as the evidence of the violent Christian past are the Spanish Inquisition and the Crusades. So the problem with that is that there are people in the world who've read history and understand a calendar and know that the Crusade was a response to a brutal Muslim invasion, occupation, subjugation of the Holy Land, and that they refused to allow Christian pilgrims to travel to the Holy Land unmolested. And after a time, the Pope decided he had enough and decided to start the First Crusade. So that was not an aggressive thing. And then the war, it was a war. It was fought by the rules of the day. Now, you can be against the Crusade because you don't like war. Kind of okay with that. Makes sense. And the Spanish Inquisition is interesting. See, the Muslims invaded Iberia, which is Spain and Portugal, in the 8th century AD. I don't do that CE crap. So the 8th century AD, and they conquered most all of it. And when they encountered the Visigoths, Pelagius of Asturias specifically, in northern Spain near the Pyrenees, in the late 8th century, they began sort of getting pushed back. And that push back and total reconquering of Iberia, which is known as the Reconquista, wasn't completed until 1492. So that's a year that might ring a bell. In 1492, the Spanish forces repelled the Muslim invasion once and for all, or at least once and for now. And also in 1492, as you remember from school, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Yay! Now, the connection there, of course, is that Columbus, though not Spanish, sailed for Spain to the New World to get gold. Two reasons. One is they just finished fighting a war that lasted 700 years, and so they had some resources. But they probably also had a lot of debt and needed to repay it. So sending some guy to go get them gold seemed like a good plan. Makes a lot of sense. Also, 1492 was when the Spanish Inquisition began. So the popular narrative when talking about the Spanish Inquisition, it was the mean Christians were picking on the poor Jews and forced them to convert to Christianity. And there's some truth to that. But that wasn't the catalyst of the Spanish Inquisition. The catalyst of the Spanish Inquisition was 700 years of brutal Muslim occupation. Forced taxation, no human rights, no civil rights for the entire population of Iberia, the native population. So the idea in 1492 that you finally won this war and that you would become a multicultural state of people who all got along and understood each other's differences were important, and that the society as a whole was strengthened through diversity is silly. Of course, that's not what was going to happen. There was an understandable mistrust of the other. So while I'm not actually defending the Spanish Inquisition or the tactics used or the people who were killed, I will suggest to you that it's sort of understandable that it happened. And I will also suggest to you that it wasn't nearly as brutal or as pervasive to the culture as a whole as you might think. So in the 100 plus years of the Spanish Inquisition, there were about 1,000 people who were actually killed. To put that in perspective, jihadist Muslims during Ramadan in 2018 will kill more people in 1 month than were killed in the entire Spanish Inquisition. So while it's not necessarily defensible, and certainly violence was used and employed in ways that are offensive to our modern delicate sensibilities, nonetheless, it was not very brutal or murderous. So if those of your examples of the horrendous violent Christian past that compares to the horrendous violent Islamic present, they're not very good. So you need other ones. But I would say that Islam is conducive to this type of thing and this type of interpretation, since it pretty much expressly talks about killing people and cutting off their heads. And talked about one of the other podcasts about how essentially the problem with Islam is that their aim is wrong. Their ideal is not a good ideal, the way Jesus is a good ideal, right? Sinless sacrifice. Voluntary, sinless voluntary sacrifice is a good ideal. You know, and a murderous, horse-thieving pedophile is not necessarily the best ideal. I think that's the kind of statement that can get you banned on Twitter. You're not allowed to say that. But you know where I got that from? I read the Quran. And they sort of glorified that type of behavior in their most beloved prophet. There's some messed up stories in the Bible. You know, King David sort of jumps to mind when you talk about sort of these idealized kings who are horrible human beings. The difference is the tone, though. So David has a general killed so he can marry his wife after he's already cheating on, after he's already had taken her and forced her to break her marriage vows and whatever. He had the guy killed so he could be with this woman. And but that behavior's not glorified. It's sort of shameful. And David eventually atones for it. The story's not told, like, look how great he is. The tone of the story is sort of, oh dear God, look what he did. Sort of a cautionary tale of how to avoid those types of situations. What not to do. That's missing from Islam. So the whole thing makes me sad. I don't like terror. I think the majority of Muslim people obviously are peaceful people who just want to get through life like me and you. You know, earn a living, raise their kids. But it's a large percentage that are not that. There's a large percentage, very large percentage of Muslims who believe in jihad and believe that terror is justified and believe that martyrs are winners of the jihad game. It's kind of interesting, and then it gets ignored, obviously, as much as they're able to ignore it. And this phenomenon is the worst in the places where the European migrants are coming from. So Pakistan, Afghanistan, Syria. And that makes it a problem for the whole world to deal with. These Ramadan attacks, or just violent attacks in general, as the population of Europe becomes more and more, you know, Middle Eastern migrant Muslim, violent crime is increasing, rape is increasing, terrorist attacks is increasing, and then you see the same thing during these Ramadan months where these people are there who believe this. Who believe that blowing up other people is a holy act. And you can argue all you want that's not true Islam, or they're confused, or that's something different, or, you know, President Obama liked to say that wasn't Islam. Well, it seems strange. There ain't any Buddhists doing it. There's no Sikhs, you know, which live precariously close to Pakistan, blowing themselves up, killing people. So while it certainly isn't the whole of Islam, it clearly is a widely held view in a religion. And it's something I think that we have to address. It just is what it is. People can get mad about travel bans, different things, you know. Hey, it's something. You can't ignore it. Act like it's never going to happen. You can't be like Sweden and just stop taking, stop reporting data about who's committing crimes and who isn't. I don't know if you knew that. In Sweden, it's illegal to report the race of the criminal. Anywhere. In the newspaper, in court filings. Like, the FBI in the U.S. keeps statistics. Rudimentary statistics on crime. Both the victims and the perpetrators. It's pretty basic, but at least it exists. You can kind of figure out some trends from it. Not in Sweden. No, no, no. We can't have anyone know that. All of a sudden, after the migrants came, we had bombings and rapes every day. Because nobody can connect the dots on that one. But it's not the case that Islam is on the path to becoming apathetic, hypocritical Christianity like we have in the United States. That's not where it's headed. A consumerist society. There's no evidence of that. And we should stop fooling ourselves and pretending that that's what it is. There's something going on that we don't understand, I think, as Western countries, and that we're not going to understand. And when you legitimize it, when you pretend that it's normal and right and should go on, and, oh, it's just part of the process, and you allow it, you're just giving it room. So I don't know what the answer is. I think the first thing is obviously to call it what it is. and to diagnose the cause of it, and to talk about the fact that this is a religion that has a holy book and clerics that promote violence. And the Muslims themselves should be very interested in this idea, because it's not just the infidels that are victims of these groups. For the most part, their victims are other Muslims who they deemed to be of the wrong type or variety, right? So it's like a Northern Irish situation on steroids. Those were Catholics and Protestants were killing each other. So this is that kind of an idea, sort of different sects of Islam blowing each other up. That's the great majority. You start looking at global jihad statistics, and it seems really high. You think, man, that's a lot of attacks, a lot of killing, But for the most part, they're just killing each other. So you think there'd be some interest in calming that down, but oh well, what are you going to do? So, some new polling data came out that shows Republicans are favored ahead of Democrats in the country by 6%. And let's not forget that these are the same polling companies that are so unbelievably biased, and the same method of collecting polling information that's so biased that it proclaimed that Hillary was going to win by a landslide in 2016. So if they're willing to admit the Republicans are ahead by 6 points, my guess is they're actually ahead by 60. Ah, probably not. By 16. 15 or 16. So yeah, there's that. But here's what happened. During World War II, the British cracked the German code, or the Allies cracked the German code. And they were fully aware that a mission, Air Force, whatever, mission that was headed out was going to be attacked by the Germans. They broke the code, they knew, and there was a famous British actor who was assigned to that group. Now, they could have done a number of things. They could have pulled the actor off the plane. They could have squashed the whole thing. But the thing that they didn't want to do was let the Germans know that they had the code. So they decided to do nothing. To let that squadron be attacked, let that actor, you know, beloved actor, die. And obviously other patriots. Because there were bigger secrets coming that they would rather have, right? So if they tipped their hand that early, would have ruined the whole thing. The Germans would have changed the code, and they would have had to start all over. So part of you know, having information or having a good card to play is knowing when to play it, right? So the Democrats apparently decided foolishly that they had enough to impeach Trump, that they would enough that they would go after him immediately. So this, the pressure to have a special counsel and the Russia thing, they must have really thought there was something there, or really thought they could just fudge their way through in the media. Because you can't sustain it for 2 years. I mean, it's just foolishness, right? So the midterm election is coming in 2018. It's a big deal. And to lose that, to lose the 2018 midterm after 2 years of Trump, when they claim every moment they get that Trump is unpopular and he's basically Hitler and all these things, to lose after 2 years of that would be really bad for them. And not give them a good hope for 2020, obviously. So they need to do that. But they pushed this narrative, this whole Russia narrative, right from day one, before Trump even took office. And, you know, there's stuff, it's hard to know what to believe is true and not true. There's stuff out now that maybe there's going to be another, now there's going to be a new investigation into the Obama administration's efforts to spy on the Trump campaign, which obviously would be highly unethical and I hope illegal. I'm not familiar with all the criminal laws involving executive branch of government. I'd like to think that spying on political candidates would be found to be illegal. Certainly unethical. Not something most Americans are going to think is okay, unless they're hyper partisan. But the other thing is that, regardless, people just get tired of it. So you're going on, what, a year and 5 months, they've been blathering on about the Russia thing with no information and no facts and no real indictments. And anybody who's paying attention knows that everybody who's actually gotten in trouble has just gotten in trouble for lying about something or something they did 10 years ago. And it's like the media has figured out that there's nothing coming of it. And so that's why they've moved on to Stormy Daniels and whatever other thing they can think of to throw at Trump. Like the Russia investigation thing is just dumb. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere. Never was going to go anywhere. And if you were going to play that card, you should have waited till like now. Or maybe even a year from now. Right? So right now, yeah, I guess you do it now, right before, and really get it going, ramp it up for September, October. And then you could maybe tarnish them a little bit. But to go so early, 2 years, man, people are, sick of it. So you're seeing that in the polls, where all of a sudden Republicans are doing better in the polls. I'm not here necessarily advocating on behalf of a political party. I'm not a huge fan of political parties generally. I think they both pretty much stink. But, you know, the wacko fringe of the Democrat Party is the most dangerous group of people in America, obviously. And I think that they're going to, I think what's going to happen is they're going to, they played their cards all wrong. They're going to lose in the midterm. They're going to lose Senate seats, which is ultimately the worst case scenario. The House is pretty much set in stone. There's not much flip-flopping that's going to go on there, but they're going to lose some Senate seats. They're going to go in a full-on panic. They already are talking about the fact that they lost because Hillary was too moderate and they need a farther left candidate. So I think what's going to happen is they're going to lose here in 2018. They'll lose maybe 3-4 Senate seats. They're going to freak out and they're going to nominate Keith Ellison or some like complete whacked out far left social justice socialist psycho. And they're going to get annihilated in 2020. And then they'll have to figure it out, I guess. I don't know. I can't. My crystal ball is murky after that. But that's what I see. That's what I see happening. That's what's coming. I would like personally for that to actually happen. And then for the two parties to split into four parties. That would be ideal. I'd like to see, or at least three parties, right? The centrist Democrats and the neoconservatives can join together in some weird pro-war uber government party, and then we can have sort of a conservative-y libertarian constitutional party, and we can have a whacked out socialist party. That would be nice. I think everybody doesn't like being in their party because it's too big. But anyway, so that's how I see it going. So listen, I hope you have a great day. I hope that if you're anywhere near jihadists, that you stay safe, stay vigilant, survive Ramadan, and listen, I hope you all have a great day today, and thanks for tuning into the podcast. We will check you on Thursday.